It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Here we go.
And the puck is
from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome back to Overtime, Monday, July 21st edition of the show. If you missed hour number one, including right off the jump, us talking college football from coast to coast, Phil Steele joined us with the Phil Steele College Football Preview Magazine. You can listen back to that conversation, including a pair of undervalued programs. Come love them near our neck of the woods here regionally in this great country of ours. College Football Preview with Phil Steele. Listen back to that right now, ESPNSiouxFalls.com or wherever you get your podcast. Still to come on today's show, headlines and highlights. We rewind the weekend, Major League Baseball, NBA, Open Championship, including Chris Paul getting a new home that is pretty darn familiar. Dive into that news pretty darn soon on the show. The latest high school football preview set to come in about a half hour. Sioux Falls Jefferson head coach Eric Struck will join us at 12:30. We finish up today's show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, things were ugly for the Minnesota Twins over the weekend. A pair of losses Friday and Saturday to the Colorado Rockies. The good news, they did not get swept by the inept team out there in Denver. Royce Lewis, a big reason why the Twins won yesterday.
This ball smoked for Royce Lewis. Get up and go. Two homer day for Royce Lewis. Royce Lewis says finally he has doubled his season home run total as Royce rolls around third. Low five from Tommy Watkins, and it's 6-1 Twins.
Bats were singing yesterday for Minnesota on the road in Denver, a 7-1 win. They are now 48-51 on the season. Joe Ryan was the starter and the winner yesterday for Minnesota. New record is 10-4. Rocco Baldelli, very happy with his performance.
Yeah, he looked great. He did. He pitched the way he pitched in the All-Star game, and he pitched the way he pitched before the All-Star game. This is the way he pitches, and never surprised to see it, but he was absolutely on point all day long and gave us a great chance to win the game with an outing like that. It was a heck of an outing.
Minnesota Twins win yesterday 7-1 against Colorado. They are now 48-51. Where does that put them in the division? They move from second to third over the weekend. Detroit's still the class of the division at 60-40. Cleveland, the new second place team at 48-50. Minnesota third, 11.5 games back. In Kansas City, 12 games back, just behind Minnesota. White Sox are 25 games out of first with a record of 35-65. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Orioles at Guardians, a 5:40 go time. Tigers and Pirates, same time from Pittsburgh. Other matchups, White Sox at Rays, Royals at the Cubs, Cardinals at Rockies, Brewers at Mariners, and then we get to the Minnesota Twins, who open a series against the best team in baseball, the LA Dodgers. That's an 8:30 start time, 8:30 pregame start time, 9:10 game start right now or tonight coming up on ESPN Sioux Falls. NFL Football Hall of Fame game coming your way just over a week away, Thursday, July 31st. We'll see the Chargers take on the Lions in Canton, Ohio. That gets going at 7 o'clock on NBC that Thursday night. Vikings open the preseason against the Houston Texans on Saturday, August 9th. Packers do the same against the New York Jets that night. The Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles will play in the season opener Thursday, September the 4th. A team that's not getting talked about for good reason, they've been really darn bad for the last 3-4 years, is the New England Patriots. But Chris Canty says that Coach Mike Vrabel will get this program and team figured out in no time.
Can Mike Vrabel actually turn things around in New England?
Oh, absolutely. I look at the New England Patriots as one of those surprise teams. They're a team that can go from being in the top five of the NFL draft to being in the final eight in the postseason. Like, I think the New England Patriots have what it takes. I love what they went out and did on the defensive side of the ball. I appreciate what they're trying to do addressing the offensive line. And this is all about being able to get Drake May to take that next step. They got a supremely talented quarterback. They're going to be well coached. I love what the New England Patriots have done this offseason.
And you can love what they've done this offseason. I do think it's crazy to have them in the playoffs. I think 7 wins would be a big win for the New England Patriots. 8 wins would be great. They're in the division to where they could finish second and nobody would bat an eye because the Jets are bad. They're the Jets and the Dolphins. I think trajectory starting to head down, if not a nosedive right now, down in South Beach. Let's talk a little bit more about some NFL football expectations for J.J. McCarthy. Chris Canty has him set pretty darn high.
Double-digit wins to have his team in the postseason. I think that is the fair expectation. The season to look a lot like it did last year. If it looks the way it did last year, you win double-digit games, your team is a wild card, you lose a game on the road in the postseason, I think that's a successful year one for J.J. McCarthy. It's interesting because the bar to clear from him, for him and the ceiling seem to be about the same. If J.J. McCarthy doesn't get this team to the postseason, then all of a sudden we have questions about what kind of quarterback J.J. McCarthy is and whether or not the Minnesota Vikings made the right decision, not only in drafting him, but made the right decision in terms of letting Sam Darnold walk out of the door.
And again, semi-fair bit there at the end, but I think it's J.J. McCarthy's team. And again, I said it last week, I'll say it all the way up till kickoff, till we're proven otherwise, good or bad. J.J. McCarthy is good this year. The Vikings could be good to very good. If he's great, Vikings will be great. And if he's bad or looks like a young quarterback, I think the Vikings could finish with 7-8 wins, and that's not going to be cry to the heavens and scream about it. I think it's a young quarterback doing young quarterback stuff, turning the ball over, situational management, short-arming some throws, whatever it might be. J.J. McCarthy might very well look like a young quarterback this year, and that's okay. I don't think it's panic time for Minnesota, but they have assembled that roster in a way that does not put him in a window this year by any means, but they have assembled the roster in a way that if J.J.'s good, team will be pretty darn good in Minnesota. Very talented roster, a top 12 roster, by the way, according to ESPN.com. Also over the weekend, you might have missed the NASCAR race. Denny Hamlin won for the second consecutive season at Dover. Next up is going to be the Brickyard 400 at Indianapolis this weekend, Sunday, 1 o'clock on TNT. And a dominant performance, particularly on Saturday and Sunday, for Scotty Scheffler, finishing at 17-under to claim the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. Scheffler knocking off the Tiger Woods comparison, saying, "I'm nowhere close to that guy."
I still think they're a bit silly. You know, Tiger won, what, 15 majors? It's my fourth. Just got 1/4 of the way there. I think Tiger stands alone in the game of golf. You know, he was inspirational for me growing up, and he was a very, very talented guy, and he was a special person to be able to be as good as he was at the game of golf. And I don't focus on that kind of stuff. That's not what motivates me. I'm not motivated by winning championships, and I don't look at the beginning of the year and just say, hey, I want to win X amount of tournaments. I want to win whatever it is. I don't do that. I have dreams and aspirations that I think about, but at the end of the day, you know, when I wake up and to practice, you know, I feel like what motivates me is just getting out and getting to live out my dream. I get to play professional golf, and I feel like I'm called to do it to the best of my ability.
So Scotty Scheffler has won a total of 4 majors, 2 in 2022 and 2 this year. You look at Tiger Woods, it's just ludicrous if you look back at what he did. Tiger Woods won 3 majors in the same season in the year 2000, also did that 2 different times with multiple majors in the same season, 06 one of those years, and also trying to do it off the seat of my pants here. 2005 also won back-to-back. 2002 did it as well. So 4 different times for Tiger Woods where he won multiple majors in the same season. Scotty Scheffler 4 overall and 2 times in 2 separate seasons winning 2 majors, and has claimed the Open Championship and looking for the final to win a career Grand Slam around the corner. Other serious contenders over the weekend: Harris English was 13-under for second place. Chris Gotter up third at 12-under. Rory McIlroy, good showing, but 10-under par his finish. Bryson DeChambeau had a disastrous 78 on his opening round, rebounded very well, and finished at 9-under par. And Phil Mickelson, worth noting, did make the cut, finished at +1 over the weekend for Lefty. WNBA basketball was off over the weekend for the All-Star break. They'll resume action league-wide tomorrow night. Fever at the Liberty, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Sky visiting the Lynx at 7 o'clock as well. Dream at the Aces, a 9 o'clock start time
on ESPN. Well, MBFC Media Days are going on right now with the Sanford Pentagon in town as we're learning of the preseason poll, chatting with the players, the coaches, the playmakers for all 10 teams in the MBFC. And the South Dakota State Jackrabbits were picked to finish second in the upcoming season, according to the MVFC. That poll announced was polled by the league's 10 coaches, SIDs, and select media members. South Dakota State shared the league title with two different teams, USD and DSU, last year, tallied 355 points in the poll, finishing second behind North Dakota State. The Yotes were third, but they did get the only first place votes that didn't belong to the Bison, 39 for NDSU. No first place votes for SDSU and 3 for the Yotes. I said it in hour number one. I'll say it again. I'm not being a homer. I think that's a little disrespectful for Jackrabbit fans, for Coyote fans, and a little bit of over love for NDSU. I think they're really good. I really do think they're going to be in the mix. And if you had to ask me today to put my rankings out there, because I'm not going to officially prognosticate right now, but I would probably have the Bison first. Not to tick off any Jackrabbit or Coyote fans out there, but I think the Bison had the least amount of turnover this offseason, and I feel good about their chances to guide the conference. Now, does that prognosticate anything about a postseason run? No. I think all three of these teams are going to be in the title mix in the postseason, and I think really highly of all three programs. But NDSU won. No problem. No problem with them being number one. But the vote split to me is where I'm a little bit lost here. USD returns really big pieces of their team, and the internal coaching change is something that kind of, to me, inspires a little confidence here. Bob Nielsen stepping down, a coach that was already on staff, going into that head coaching role. A lot of continuity there. They lost a lot on the offensive line, lost a couple of their best players on defense, if not three of their best players. Of course, Mike East Grace, Gary Bryant at linebacker, also lost Dennis Shorter and others in the secondary. There's a lot of turnover down in Vermilion, but three feels like a little bit light for them. And then the Jackrabbits getting no first place votes. I feel like we're forgetting who they are and what they've built and the playmakers that they return and their ability to hit the portal and bring the guys in that they did. I'm confident in Dan Jackson up there in Brookings, and I think the Jackrabbits should have gotten a few first place votes. I don't know, 5, 6, 7. The split should be a little bit more evenly split out, and do not sleep on Illinois State, as I said before. Really good program, just as happened to be in the same conference with these other three we're talking about. The Redbirds should be in the postseason mix once again this fall as well. Well, the watch lists are out. I'll let you digest those for yourself. I'll get an article put up this afternoon with the Jackrabbits and Coyotes on the watch list. But the nuts and bolts here: Chase Mason, the quarterback up in Brookings, made the watch list, as did Lofton Ogroski, Julius Lowridge, the running back, Ogroski, the receiver up there in Brookings. And on the watch list for USD, Aiden Bauman, Charles Pierre Jr., and team captain Nate Ewill also on that list. I'll get the full list out here soon. 13 Jackrabbits and a total of 8 Yotes made the watch list for the MVFC Media Days. And that order of finish right now: NDSU first, South Dakota State second, South Dakota third, but they did receive 3 first place votes, Illinois State 4, Youngstown State. The Penguins are in the top 5, Southern Illinois 6, North Dakota 7, UNI 8, Indiana State 9, and the Murray State Racers still a newcomer at number 10 in the preseason poll. That's the latest and greatest in your headlines of the day. As always, for a better local banking option, you can check them out online at reliabank.com or in person here in the 605. We take the break, come back with your weekend rewind. The Open Championship, Scotty Scheffler dominant in victory, 17 under to claim his 4th career major and 3rd leg of a Grand Slam for his career. MLB news, NBA news, everything in between over the weekend coming up next on Overtime.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Monday, July 21st edition of Overtime. Right around the corner, coming up next, we'll be previewing the Sioux Falls Jefferson Cavalier football season Newcomer head coach Eric Struck, first head coaching opportunity here in the Sioux Empire, is the new head coach at Sioux Falls Jefferson. He joins us coming up in about 5 minutes. Things you may have missed over the weekend. One place to start, that is with the NBA Summer League title, which went the way of the Charlotte Hornets. Con Knupple, Duke alum, the fourth pick of this year's NBA draft, had 21 points as Charlotte picked up the win 83-78 over Sacramento. Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton had 15 points, and three other players each scored 11 for Charlotte, who ended their summer league run with a 6-0 record. It's been a long time since we talked about the Hornets being anything other than, I don't know, maybe that team could squeak into the playoffs or the play-in. Been even a stretch to talk about them in that light, but they've been that bad. We'll see if that is a little bit of a harbinger of good things to come for the Charlotte Hornets. Con Knupple, big star, 21 points in that win. Well, guard Marcus Smart has agreed to a contract buyout with the Wizards, plans to sign a 2-year, $11 million deal with the Lakers. This, according to ESPN on Saturday, Smart not too far removed from being the defensive player of the year back in 2022, a 3-time all-defense first team member, will have a player option on his new Lakers deal to enter a more flush 2026 free agency, according to said sources. Lakers all-NBA star Luka Doncic reached out to Smart and made it clear he wanted to play with the two-way stalwart. The planned move serves as a return to a grand stage for Smart, who made the playoffs in each of his first 9 NBA seasons with Boston, missed the postseason over the past 2 years with both Memphis and Washington. And that was a big name not too long ago. We were talking about a big 3, big 4, big 5 in Boston, not in terms of superstar. I don't think anybody labeled Marcus Smart as a superstar, but a really good defensive player, two-way player, and a welcome addition to the Lakers, who are looking for anything to move the needle on that roster. But you got to say, honestly, at this point, I like what the Lakers have done this offseason. DeAndre Ayton coming in, Marcus Smart coming in. We'll see how they reshape and retool moving forward through the month of July. Last news from the NBA over the weekend, free agent point guard Chris Paul, this from this morning, agreeing to a deal to return to the LA Clippers for his expected final 21st NBA season. Paul had multiple suitors this offseason, including the Bucks, Hornets, and Mavericks, but the 12-time All-Star chose the contending Clippers and their shared history in L.A. Paul told the Pat McAfee Show in June that he was determined to play his 21st season near his family, who live in Los Angeles. He becomes the latest veteran addition to the Clippers, who have also added shooting guard Bradley Beal, power forward John Collins, and center Brook Lopez this season. For the most part, that's an aging addition for all four of these guys, for the most part, in terms of the LA Clippers, team that is a little bit older, trying to chase a title. We'll see. But Chris Paul, a 21st season for the former Wake Forest star with the LA Clippers once again. Major League Baseball news. Aaron Judge hit the first home run of his Major League Baseball career the day after Alex Rodriguez retired. And now the two are tied on the Yankees' all-time home run list. That's right. Judge hit number 351 yesterday in a 4-2 win over Atlanta, moving into a tie with A-Rod for sixth place in the history of the organization. Just an incredible honor, especially, you know, growing up watching Alex Rodriguez for so many years and watching what he did in pinstripes. He's a legend, one of the best ever players. Judge trails Yankee greats Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, and Yogi Berra in career homers for New York. Still in sight this year. Judge is at 351. Could get DiMaggio at 361, Berra at 358, Gehrig, Mantle, and Ruth not attainable this year for Aaron Judge, but certainly before too long, would not surprise me if Aaron Judge is in that top five, in that top three in pinstripes. Other Major League Baseball news, the Phillies signed free agent reliever David Robertson, announced as of this morning. Robertson was optioned to AAA Lehigh Valley and will receive more than $5 million for the rest of the season on his deal, which is a prorated deal for $16 million. The 40-year-old has been a free agent since declining $7 million mutual option with the Rangers last November. He joins the Phillies, who certainly have a lot of aspirations on the way this year. And lastly, in case you missed it over the weekend, Portrush in Northern Ireland, Scotty Scheffler may not find his life's true fulfillment in winning, but he's pretty darn good at winning. That's not going to keep him from continuing to do it. on the sport's biggest stages. Scheffler had the all the time in the world to celebrate his latest major title, carding a 68 on Sunday to cruise to a 4-stroke win in the Open Championship at Royal Port Rush. The outcome was never in doubt yesterday as golf's number one player finished at 17 under 267, delivering yet another dominant performance to win his second major this year and grab the third leg of a career Grand Slam. Scheffler became just the third golfer to win multiple majors by four or more strokes in a single year, joining just two names, Ben Hogan and Tiger Woods. Hogan did it in 53, Woods in 2000. Very impressive stuff. Scheffler has won 20 times worldwide since February of 2022, and this was the 11th straight time he turned a 54-hole lead into a win. Great stuff over the weekend. The Open Championship. Scottie Scheffler now an owner of three legs of a triple crown, and very impressive stuff in 2025 for the Texas native. That's the latest and greatest. Your weekend rewind. When we come back, another football team comes into focus. Sioux Falls Jefferson Cavalier football. Another strong finish last fall. The overall record was 7-4. An appearance in a close loss to Brandon Valley in the state semis. New head coach is Eric Strzok. He joins us next on this Monday edition of Overtime. Keep it tuned here. It's ESPN Sioux Falls, ESPN 102.3, AM 1000, KSOO.
ESPN Sioux Falls, 4 of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000, KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
We are continuing to count you down to South Dakota high school football season right around the corner. Before long, we promise, August the 29th, Sioux Falls Jefferson Cavalier football will open up the season on the road up in Watertown against Watertown High School. 7 o'clock is that start time. We'll set to preview the season, talk about the offseason storylines and the stars within the program. Right now with Jefferson head coach Eric Strzok, who joins us on the ESPN hotline. Coach, always great to hear from you. How you doing on this muggy Monday?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. It's been a busy summer, but thanks for having me on, Bert.
And very excited to talk to you. I know it's a busier summer for you than most. It's your first year guiding this program at Jefferson, a lot of new faces. But again, you've been around the coaching world long enough. You know what you're doing. You know what you want in place. Let's talk a little bit about off-season takeaways thus far, first few months on the job, getting to know the guys and reacting to the buy-in within the program. What are the numbers looking like? What's the buy-in looking like these days? And keeping you guys busy day to day?
Sure. Numbers wise, we're really good. I think, you know, grades 10 through 12, we're right around 90. And then we probably expect anywhere from 30 to 40 freshmen. You know, so you're looking at that 120 to 130 number somewhere in there, grades 9 through 12. So we feel really good about that. Buy-in, the kids have been awesome from day one. We have a really strong senior class that's really hungry. And wants to win and be successful. So, you know, any changes that we've put forth or anything that's been a little bit different, they've been really receptive to. They've been eager. You know, the offense has changed, and they've been really eager to learn that. You know, we started out a little slow as far as the offense goes at the beginning of the summer and learning it and things like that. But we went up to Brookings for camp, and then the last few weeks they've really picked up on things and done an excellent job.
Certainly offense in your background recently before taking over the head coaching position at Sioux Falls Jefferson. Eric Strzok is our head coach leading up the Jefferson Cavalier football program. Let's talk offseason nuts and bolts in terms of training. We talked with Coach Fredenberg of Sioux Falls Lincoln last week on the show about the importance of the weight room. Outside of the weight room, we know how important that is for every program. Is there something else that you guys specifically work on? I remember when I was a high school football player, for whatever reason, the coaching staff out in North Carolina was obsessed with agility drills. We had those big rubber mats where we had the spray painted dots and everyone was doing one leg dot jumps and back and forth and two legs in and outs. And we did that day after day after day after day. Where do you stand with stuff like that? Is your program into yoga, stretching, agility, something else outside of the weight room?
No. Our strength conditioning coach, Dave Hopper, does a really good job. He's into, you know, inside, outside the weight room. We do a lot of like, measuring, you know, performance and things like that. So like sprinting is a big one for us. So we have a lot of different distances that he'll time and record with different types of lead-in to see how explosive they are, how fast they are. So sprinting is probably the number one thing that we do outside of lifting weights, and our strength coach does a really good job of mixing it up and giving them different opportunities to demonstrate their improvement throughout the summer.
Talking Sioux Falls Jefferson Cavalier football, head coach is Eric Strzok. He's our guest now on the ESPN hotline on this Monday edition of Overtime. Coach, last year the program finished at 7-4, state semifinals. Consistency pretty darn key, and this program has been consistent and is a state title winning program already. Of course, perfect season back in 2023. Let's talk a little bit more about the returners, new faces within the program, and just the expectations year over year at Jefferson.
Sure. Defensively, I believe we returned 9 starters, guys like Anthony Patron and Noah Duran on the defensive line, Kyle Hokestad as well. Our linebacking core is pretty solid with Trevor Nielsen, Ben Nelson, Bo Kerner, Samir Ahmed. And then we got a pretty deep stable of safeties with Brody Jacobson, Zach Ibrahim, and Cooper Nielsen that are all very talented, and we're trying to find a little more corner depth, but Ryland Moon's a returning starter who's very good. And Eddie Moba played some receiver and some defensive back last year. He's come back from knee surgery, but we feel like he's going to be an excellent corner as well. So defensively, we feel really good about the experience returning. Offensively, we're a little more inexperienced. We're trying to find a starting quarterback. So we've had 3. Jaden Silva is a senior, Casey Menninger a junior, and Boston Bryan a sophomore. Have been competing, and they've done an excellent job. I wouldn't say any one of those 3 has separated themselves, and it's not necessarily like from poor play. It's just all 3 have been very good and very consistent. So we feel good whichever one ends up winning out. We feel good there. We got to find a whole new offensive line. Replace all 5 starters from last year. But there's some excellent candidates, Gabe Ralston, Gabe Pulford, Aiden Zortman, Jose Cortez, Nelson Malara. Those guys have done an excellent job of picking up the system and playing well. Returners on offense, Davion Simonson is our running back. He's big, strong, tough kid. Jace Unzen, Carson Sissoko, at wide receiver were playmakers last year. And then, obviously the one that everybody knows about is our tight end, Eddie Whiting. He's just, he's a phenomenal player, athlete. He could do a million different things with him. So we've got, some security blankets for whoever wins our quarterback battle.
Certainly a lot of storylines, Sioux Falls Jefferson. Wanted to correct it, by the way. Credit where credit is due. 2022 was the title season for Sioux Falls Jefferson Cavalier football. Head coach right now, Eric Strzok, here in town. Coach, you mentioned a lot of new faces there. And I know the answer is going to be, well, we're going to tailor it to our personnel and who we have and what we do well. But you're an offensive guy by nature, especially recently with positions held at area schools. What is your offensive philosophy, and how does that kind of fit in this year's team with the players and playmakers you have offensively?
Sure. We like to play fast. If you watch this at Lincoln the last few years, we don't huddle. But we do have a mix between running and throwing the football. And I think anyone that watched this at Lincoln, we try to use all our personnel, all our players. So we don't just, rely on the running back to get 40 touches and everybody else get 1 or 2. We try to spread it around as much as possible just to try to keep the defense off balance. I feel like the personnel we have at Jefferson now really fits that. We're really solid at receiver. We've got 2-3 running backs that we feel like are pretty good. We've got 2 or 3 tight ends that we feel like are pretty good. So we have, those weapons available to us, and we just got to find, find ways to stay within, our base offense, but find ways to get those guys involved and get them the ball and let them showcase their skills.
And certainly a big season ahead for Sioux Falls Jefferson. Last year, state semifinalist with a close loss to BV, 7-4 the record. When it comes to the nuts and bolts, the early portion of the season, Coach, you got Watertown on the road to start it out. The following week, you're on the road, Howard Wood Field for President's Bowl against Roosevelt. What would you like to see out of the gate? Of course, you want a pair of wins to start out the year, but what would you like to see from the offense, defense, and special teams that would inspire some confidence for the program in 2025?
You just like to see, the things that we teach and practice, over the summer. You just like to see those things, come to fruition, on the field, on film. As far as the effort that we talk about that we want to play with, how hard we want to play, how physical we want to play, how fast we want to play, you want to be able to see, those things show up. It's hard that first game. You don't really know what to expect. So there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be errors and things like that. But you want to see the effort. You want to see the focus. You want to see the physicality show up from game to game.
And again, big goals in store for Sioux Falls Jefferson Cavalier football head coach Eric Struck here in 2025, right here on this Monday edition of Overtime. Lastly, coach, just to comment on your schedule, very familiar faces throughout at Watertown to start it out. That's coming up on Friday, August the 29th. You guys will be on the road again, in quotes, Howard Woodfield against Roosevelt. You got Washington the next week and then Lincoln. So you start out with a lot of familiar teams to the first four games and the rest of the way. What just stands out to you about the schedule and the competition in AAA is always pretty darn fierce?
Sure, yeah. There's never really a off week or anything like that. You know, I think it's pretty neat opportunity for our kids. We go to Watertown and we get to open up in their new stadium, you know, so that adds a little bit more to it. Plus, they're the defending AA state champs. So that's kind of a neat, exciting way for us to start the season. And then you just, after that, you kind of settle into just one rival after another. I think, you know, we get to be in Sioux Falls for like 4 or 5 weeks straight, so that'll be really nice. But at the same time, you're playing, you know, a really good team each and every week, so there's really no opportunity to lose focus or lapse. We're going to be challenged to, you know, be our best in practice every day, so that we could play our best every week. And, you know, honestly, I think that's the fun part, and that's what the kids want.
Big season ahead, Sioux Falls Jefferson, quarterback situation to figure out, and a lot of big names, offense, defense, and throughout the program. That's head coach Eric Struck. Coach, best of luck this season. Hope to check in with you again real soon. Thanks so much for the time today.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Sioux Falls Jefferson head coach Eric Struck. Last year, the program 7-4, a state semifinalist. And again, he highlighted a few of those names. You know those names, Eddie Whiting, Davion Simonson, and others on the team. Quarterback battle to figure out, but certainly one of the more highly well thought of programs at that 11 AAA level for South Dakota high school football. Tomorrow, for the first time, we'll be talking with the new second-year head coach at Sioux Falls, Roosevelt, for the first time on the show. Very much looking forward to to talking with Coach Stahlberg. That was Coach Eric Struck at Sioux Falls Jefferson as we continue to get you primed and ready, counted down, previewed for South Dakota high school football season. Sioux Falls Jefferson at Watertown, Friday, August 29th, their opener. That is a 7 o'clock start time. For the latest stats, news, and everything in between, gobound.com/SD. You'll find Jefferson's whole schedule there and more right around the corner. August 29th, the opener for Cavalier football. We take the break back to round out and wrap up the show. The good, the bad, the ugly, next on Overtime.
Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to Overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Monday, July 21st edition of Overtime. Great conversation, great preview moments ago of the Sioux Falls Jefferson Cavalier football season. New head coach is Eric Struck, his second time on the program. And this time we're talking football right around the corner, just over a month away from the season opener. Jefferson will head up to Watertown, opening up that new facility, that new stadium, a 7 o'clock start time on the Friday, August 29th opener for Sioux Falls Jefferson. Week 2, they got Roosevelt. Week 3, Washington. Week 4, Lincoln right away, and then they've got O'Gorman. That game going to be at home at Howard Woodfield on the 26th of September, and then they'll head out west to Rapid City Stevens this year. The road trip date for Cavalier fans out there will be October the 3rd. Just about time for the good, the bad, the ugly. Before we do that, though, just a question out there, because I was all in my feels over the break talking about high school football memories, and my memory that I referenced there with Coach Struck was the onslaught of every single day of summer. You get in the weight room, you go there pretty darn early. It felt like a job back then, but I loved it. I loved high school football. My senior year was awesome. In terms of every single day, you go to the weight room, you go hydrate, you come back out, maybe they feed you breakfast. But one thing that we did in the North Carolina summers, and luckily this was indoors before we went outside for two-a-days back then, is we had these big rubber mats that they would wheel out on a bunch of carts. You'd pull them off. The things felt like they weighed 20 pounds themselves. You slap them on the gym floor, and there were spray-painted dots. And there was a routine that we did. All right, for 2 minutes, we're going to do in and out on these five dots. It looked like a piece of a die, a five-sided, or five dots on a die. And you did these in and outs. You did one leg, left leg, one leg, right leg, forward, backward, inside out, left, right, upside down, whatever it might be, exhausting stuff. But I'll tell you what. By the end of the summer, I was the most agile, mediocre backup linebacker in the state of North Carolina. I can promise you that. Not really, but I can't promise you that at all. Just about time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's where we're going to go as we relive some high school glory or lack thereof on the football gridiron. Let's hit it. It's the good, the bad, or the and the ugly on this Monday edition of Overtime.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Are you stuck in a bad or maybe even an ugly job? You can land a great job today with Knife River Corporation. They're looking for people like you, a company that's committed to people, safety, and quality. Wants to talk to you right now. You can check out their available openings at KnifeRiverSD.com/employment. That's Knife River Corporation, KnifeRiverSD.com/employment. Good news first, the American is now the American. That's right. As part of a sweeping rebrand, the American Athletic Conference on Monday formally changed their name to American Conference, ditched the acronym AAC, and added its first mascot, Soar, the Eagle. The league will use the American Conference, American Conference, just American Conference on first reference and American on subsequent references. The modernized website will go live on Thursday at the league's media days in Charlotte, North Carolina. A brand is more than a name, American Commissioner Tim Pernetti said in a statement. By the way, this is hilarious. Yes, this is good news, but I don't know a whole lot of people that wasted the breath saying, you know, the American Athletic Conference has a lot of good teams this year. Everybody just say, hey, look at the American. I like this team. I like that team. We were already doing this. This is just a little bit of a change, officially change in the nomenclature, if you will. But the American Athletic Conference is no more. Just the American Conference, not even the. I'll look to eliminate that T-H-E in due time. Other good news, Texas is good at football. They are back without a doubt, and they are going to be here to stay for a while. Days after landing the number one outside linebacker in the country, Tyler Atkinson, Texas also secured their latest five-star addition yesterday when coveted rusher Derek Cooper, ESPN's number one running back in the 2026 class, also announced his commitment to the Longhorns. Of late, Texas has done a really great job developing guys for the NFL level, and that's on the short list of RBU lately. Used to be my Wisconsin Badgers, but we're floundering around right now in terms of being a decent football program. But Texas landing Derek Cooper, number one running back in the country, days after landing the number one outside linebacker in the country last week. Now, let's dive into some more news. This is the bad news and the tragic news over the weekend around the world of college football. Ole Miss freshman, 18-year-old football player Corey Adams was killed on Saturday night in a shooting in Tennessee. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office said that the 18-year-old passed away at the scene in Cordova, Tennessee, just outside of Memphis. Four other men were shot outside of a residence and taken to area hospitals. No others were listed in critical condition. Heartbreaking stuff. Adams, a defensive lineman from New Orleans who enrolled at Ole Miss this winter. He twice earned All-State honors for Edna Carr High School. Rest in peace. Gone way too soon. 18-year-old freshman football player at Ole Miss, Corey Adams. And lastly here, more ugly news to get to. A New York City pawn shop owner has pleaded guilty to buying and selling luxury items stolen by a national burglary crew whose victims include Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. That's according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of New York. Burrow was playing a road game in December against the Cowboys when items were stolen from his home. An FBI complaint unsealed in February identifying Burrow only as Athlete 5 listed the total value of items stolen at around $300,000. The pattern of athletes' homes being burglarized while they were publicly scheduled elsewhere includes Chiefs stars Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, NBA stars Luka Doncic and Mike Conley, and others. The pawn shop owner that was found guilty, pleaded guilty, is Dmitry Nishinsky, 43 years old of North Bergen, New Jersey, pleaded guilty Friday to one count of conspiracy to receive stolen property in a Brooklyn federal court. He admitted knowingly to purchasing stolen property, including high-end watches, jewelry, and handbags. And again, hopefully this leads to a little bit more of a resolution in terms of this case, A, but also further activity in this ilk later as well, because this was a really bad trend that started a couple years ago, continued to go. Joe Burrow, one of the latest high-profile athletes to have his home burglarized when he was out of town. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That is our show today. Tomorrow, you can rest assured, we're going to be talking football. I am literally getting in the car in just a moment, driving over to the Pentagon for MBFC Media Days. Going to catch the tail end there, get some audio ripped off the MBFC site for tomorrow's show. We'll get you primed and ready. Coach Dan Jackson, Coach Travis Johansson, some stars for the Jacks and the Yotes and everything in between. And yeah, I'm sure we'll be talking about those North Dakota State Bison as well. The outright favorites, according to the media, the coaches, and those polled at MBFC Media Days. That's right, the Bison number one for now, Jackrabbits number two for now, and the Yotes number three for now in the MBFC preseason media poll. That's the latest and greatest on our show. We'll talk to you tomorrow when the next edition of Overtime rolls around right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.